Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So this morning, I'm excited to share, as I always am. I'm Associate Pastor Brock Williamson, for those that don't know. I'm very happy to be preaching. This is one of my favorite things to do. So I'm excited this morning to hear what God has to say. And I'm not going to say how I know this, but I'm just going to let you know that this morning, the message this morning is the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to say I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm just letting you know the message, the way it came together, the way that this is going to come out to you. I'm praying and believing Holy Spirit's going to minister this morning, and I believe that it is a message for today, for you in this place, all right? So, that always kind of gets me fired up. It's one of my favorite things about preaching, sharing messages, is when I write my messages out. Sometimes they're written out, sometimes they're not. But when I write them out, a lot of times it's like a one-sentence thing, idea or verse that sticks out. And then I pray about it, and I'm seeking, and I'm reading the Word, and then I'll write down another Bible verse, and it seems like that doesn't connect. That's weird. And then there's this moment where the revelation comes in, and everything comes together, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, Lord, that's so cool. Holy Spirit, wow. Because it's like, there's no way I came up with that on my own. And if you know me, you would understand. It's pretty great. I love it. But this morning, I'm going to start with a Bible verse in Ephesians chapter 5. All right. This is a fun verse. Heard a lot of people use this verse in different manners. This verse is pretty sweet. I like it a lot. We're going to start in verse 10. All right. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. That's it. I mean, I might reference a little bit later, a little bit further on. Because some people will take this verse and think, I'm supposed to expose evil deeds. Well, so-and-so preacher is preaching heresy, and this is, and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. If we continue on in the next verse. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So exposing the evil deeds, the deeds of evil and darkness. A lot of people will take that and call people out and say, this person is heretical, this person is a false teacher, this person is a prosperity preacher, this person. Instead of, when you do that, you're kind of treating symptoms. You're not treating the root. Treating the root, what that would be is explaining theologically, which, man, I wish Isaac was preaching. He's way more theologically advanced than I am. But explaining what is wrong about what they're teaching. I don't have to name the preacher in order to expose darkness. I'll just teach truth. And if you grasp the truth, then when you listen to that, you're going to know that's wrong. I don't have to drag anybody through the mud. I don't have to knock anybody down. I don't have to, you know, burn them at the stake. I just preach the truth. And so this morning, I'm going to do a little bit of exposing of evil deeds. Finish that phrase. But that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Because there was something that came up on my heart and in my mind when I was, you know, researching, reading in the Gospels. There was a Bible study I came across of a while back, and I was doing it, and it just all came to me. And there was this thing. You know, in the Old Testament, it references it a lot, and it talks about familiar spirits. That might sound like you know what it is, but you don't. Well, maybe you do. I'm sorry. I shouldn't judge your theological knowledge. I'll be honest, I didn't know what it was. I heard that, familiar spirits. That sounds easy. It's something you're familiar with. Well, no. It references this in, I think it's Leviticus. It talks about this in a certain place. But it talks about not doing this, not partaking in this, because what it was mediums and necromancers, wizards. Those things are real. I know a lot of people think they're just in movies, but that stuff's real. And so what they would do is mediums, right? Mediums try to communicate with the dead, and they try to tell of the future, of the past, or communicate to the dead on behalf of someone or behalf of themselves. This is occult. This is a witchcrafty, evil grossness. You know, Ouija boards. Things like that, right? That's what a medium is. Well, what a familiar spirit is partners with that. But a familiar spirit is the demons and principalities that go with someone who is trying to do these things. And it is a demon that convinces the medium or the person that is actively doing this occult thing that they are, oh, we're friends. We're familiar. So you don't need to be alarmed. And they're almost like a servant to the medium or the occult practice, but really they're a servant of Satan. So that's what a familiar spirit is. See, a little bit different than what the phrase sounds like. Familiar spirit makes me think just something we're familiar with. But it's a demon that convinces someone, I am familiar with you. And how this goes on in life and in situations and so on, in life and people's lives, all that different stuff. Familiar spirit can be something that just tags along with you, follows you around. There's many different people that deal with familiar spirits. Demonic oppression. You know, there's oppressed, possessed. And if you're getting uncomfortable that I'm talking about demons this morning, then you're uncomfortable with the Bible. You're uncomfortable with what God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit actually are. They're not demons. But in the unseen spiritual realm, these are real. And the belief that Christians can't have demons is false. Read your Bible, okay? And this, again, is not to incite fear. This is to educate, expose. Because there's things that have changed over time. And yes, the Lord has overcome the evil one, defeated darkness. But Satan's presence still exists. Demons' presence and activity still exists. But do we have authority? Yes. Do we have God's protection? Amen. Yes. But guess what? You cannot walk outside of God's blessing and his life and expect to be protected. His life for you, sorry. It's like, you know, somebody holding up an umbrella in the rain. Just because you have an umbrella, if you hold it over here, you're going to get wet. that's reality, you know. To walk outside of the blessing, walk outside of the life God has called us to walk into places of divination, necromancy, mediums, witchcraft, the occult, to walk out into this stuff, we open ourselves up to familiar spirits. Just as an example. We open up ourselves to an attack from the enemy. There's a difference between walking through the valley and not being afraid and actively partaking and participating in why the valley is so scary. Remember, in reference to that verse, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, what it was is there was a lot of altars and pagan things that were sacrificed to idols and so on, and there's a lot of demonic presence there. If I walk through the valley in the presence of the Lord, praying and seeking and following him, I'm okay. But if I go into the valley and start bowing down to totems and start sacrificing things and doing all that, that's different. So I don't want anybody to say, well, I can walk in this world and be fine. Yes. Remember, do not conform to the ways of this world, but be renewed, body, mind, spirit, and so on. Become a new creation. That means I'm not participating in the things that are going to expose me to the traps and attacks of the enemy. But here's the deal, the kicker that I think gets us all is familiar spirits, because these are the things that try to convince us it's harmless. I'm known for some of my extreme, I don't know if ideology is the right word, but extreme ways of living against occult practices. Movies, holidays, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into that stuff. Like I said, it's easy to call out one specific thing, but instead I want to teach about the truth and then you make your decision, right? But, so don't, okay, before people start reading into that, he's talking about Halloween. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about familiar spirits. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you on that, that's your deal. But that's the deal, is there's so many things in our culture and in our life that we have grown desensitized to that are demonic powers, presence, familiar spirits. And it's not just these crazy occult things. It's not. You want to talk about the uptick in movies, TV shows, music having sexual references. And then we wonder why generations are starting younger in sexual activity and getting caught and trapped in lust and pornography and all these things. There is a spiritual familiar spirit. And guess what? They're trying to desensitize us by saying we're sexual beings. That's what we were designed. That's natural. It's okay. And they desensitize you. I've talked to students. I mean, not anymore, but when I was a youth pastor and I would talk to students and they'd tell me, well, I'm struggling with that, but I was told by, whether it be their parent or someone else or they read online, that, you know, it's healthy for me to do that. You're wrong. You're wrong. But there's this, see, they're trying to desensitize, trying to become familiar so that we view it as that's just how things are. You've heard of that. This is just the way that I am. Maybe even said it. Maybe even said it before. But I'm here to expose this morning this tactic of the enemy to convince you of familiar spirits, that you're okay, but in reality, you're going to be plagued. You're going to struggle. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be all sorts of things that will affect you and attack you, and guess what? It's a familiar spirit tagging along, and you think it's your buddy, but it's not. There's an enemy that is out to get you, prowls around. Lately, I have been on a real kick of watching grizzly bear attacks, fighting each other or attacking things, just because they're just, I can't fathom how big that animal is. Like, seriously. You know that a grizzly bear can get over 10 feet and over 1,000 pounds and then run at you at 35 miles an hour? And to think there was even a debate that a gorilla could beat a grizzly. Baloney. But I could still beat a kangaroo. Anyway, that's an age-old debate as well. But beside the point. But I've been watching, well then of course when you go down that rabbit hole, right, you know, watching wildlife videos, maybe you don't watch wildlife, maybe you watch something else, but you get down the rabbit hole and then you end up on a giraffe giving birth and you don't even know how you got there. Been there, done that, it is a wild experience, okay? I'm just going to throw that out there. But some of the other ones you get down to is mountain lions. Holy smokes, those are terrifying. Because half the time, you're not even going to know they're there until it's around your neck. I know I've probably referenced this on a Sunday once, but I told my dad once, I said, yeah, if I run into a mountain lion in the wild and I ain't got my gun, I'm just, okay, make it quick. My dad looked at me and he said, no, you're not, you're a Williamson. I said, what am I going to do? I was like, okay, Dad, yeah, let me just Jeez. Let me just take its back real quick and just choke it out. No, this is not happening. You know, could do that with a kangaroo, not a mountain lion. Anyway. But the can't fathom it of like how big a grizzly is. And then it just comes out of nowhere at 35 miles an hour. And that's the thing, though, is some people, you've seen the videos, tourists out in national parks, oh, big and cuddly, take a picture. Then they get an elk antler, right? Yeah, it's just foolishness. That's the thing with familiar spirits, though. Familiar, it's my friend, and then all of a sudden they stab you in the back. They start killing you, eating your lunch, living rent-free on your couch, and you're wondering, when are they going to leave? That's exactly familiar spirits. We just sit there and, oh, big, cuddly, awesome, then they eat you. There was a grizzly attack. There was no video of it, but there was a story. It's not super gruesome, so don't worry. Bear with me. I got to tell you this. It's great. What? Oh, bear with me. I didn't even... didn't even plan that. Didn't even catch that. Okay, I thought, wow, that's the most response I've gotten in a long time. I got to call my dad, let him know who's funnier. No, I'm kidding. We always have that debate. I legitimately didn't even realize it. Okay, so these guys were hunting. I think they were on Kodiak Island, okay? And very thick, dense forest and some of that, all right? And there's grizzly bears, like 10 foot, over 1,000 pound grizz, all right? 35 mile an hour grizz, okay? They were hunting. They had harvested an animal, and you can't pack it all out sometimes, or you're not leaving that day, so you have the meat and you save it, so you put it in bags and you hoist it up in a tree. That way it doesn't get taken, right? And so they had it hoisted up in a tree, but obviously even the smell can attract predators. Okay, well, they were going there and they weren't sure, you know, if there's a grizz in there. We're not sure. Well, everything was clear and fine, and they sat down one day and they were going to eat their sandwiches, okay? And this dude's eating his sandwich, but he's facing away from the group, and he was in the middle of a sentence, and then 18 inches away from his head came the head of a grizzly bear, flying right past him. And that's the old, we're Christian, so, oh Lord moment, right? that would test even a man of God like myself. No, I'm kidding. But this dude, like, literally, because he's not facing his group. He was facing away from him because they're just sitting down having lunch. But the thing was, they sat in this little opening that was dense trees all around them. So it was on them out of nowhere. None of them saw it coming. A 10-foot, because it ended up getting harvested a week later, that grizz, because it attacked other people, these military guys. And, of course, the military guy killed it. Go figure. I'm not saying go figure isn't that's a bad thing. I'm saying, of course, it took, you know, that guy to go in there and strangle it. No, I think they shot it. But anyway, this guy, he was with a group of people, though, and one of the people with had, you know, big old handgun and bear spray. Because, you know, you don't want to have to kill it if you don't have to. They're a beautiful creature. And you're in their territory, so if you can, repel them. You don't want to shoot them. But if you have to, there it is. And the guy they were with, sitting down for lunch, had his gun on the bag next to him, had the bear spray next to the gun, and when that bear came in, because they saw it, and they say, you know, you're panic mode when something like that happens, you know, high-stress situation, that dude grabbed his trekking pole and whacked the bear on the head. He has a gun and bear spray, and he grabbed his trekking pole, and a 10-foot, 1,000-pound grizzly, he whacked it on the head. Meanwhile, somebody from their group was right in front of where it charged, ended up rolling on the back and rolled the grizzly 15 yards down the hill. Unintentionally riding, by the way. I'm sure he wasn't saying yee-haw. He ends up rolling off and they're checking, hey, where's he at? Where's he at? They can't, you know, they're looking for him and it's dense forest. And this grizz just went right through their camp. But in the moment of panic, instead of grabbing the gun, instead of grabbing the bear spray, which I've heard mixed reviews on bear spray, and the fact that there's mixed reviews would make me not want to use it. Just throwing that out there. Apparently, it's just full, I shouldn't say all, but what I've read online, watching the season of Alone. You know, yeah, they had grizz that they'd run into. And it's like full of like chili pepper spray stuff. I'm not relying on that. I'm just not. You just, it's like the mountain lion situation. Yeah, let me just wrestle you. No, let me spray you, bear. 35 miles an hour. Okay, sorry. I could go on a tangent because I could watch animals all day long. But he grabs the trekking pole and whacks it when he's got, you know, a gun and bear spray. But see, this, I'm telling this story, obviously you can see where this is going. When that familiar spirit and the enemy rears his head, shows up and runs through you eating a sandwich, what are we grabbing? What are we doing? Panic mode sets in, and half the time, we're not even sure what's going on because we see him as a friend. We see him as, you know, nothing wrong. Where in the world did this come from? There's a hole in the wall. Do you know what happened? No, I have no idea. It's like termites. You don't see them, and then all of a sudden there's something's wrong. I thought you were my friend. No, you never think termites are your friend. But this is something that has happened so far over time, though. That's why it's gotten to where it is. Because our whole society has brought us to a place of comfort, right? But see, there's a generational curse that dates all the way back to Adam and Eve. That generational curse is sin, right? Because they fell, we have all fallen short. We're born into sin. There's other generational curses. Scripture talks about generational curses and so on. In Ezekiel, it talks about a phrase that was used in their culture back then, which was, if the father eats a sour grape, even the children's taste it in their mouth. Even their kids taste it in their mouth. But the scripture goes on to say, never to use that in Israel again. For each person will be judged themselves. Because it talks about the sins of the father, but if the son or the kid goes and lives a righteous life, I'm summarizing a little bit. You can read it. It's in Ezekiel 18. But it says if he goes on and lives a righteous life, he's okay. Guess what? It's not saying that generational curses don't exist. What it's saying is that there needs to be somebody to stop it. There needs to be somebody to stop it. There needs to be somebody that sees that familiar spirit and says, no shot. It ends here and now with me. That's what Jesus did. There was a generational curse of sin. And Jesus was like, yeah, it stops here. People are now going to have the option to have grace, have mercy, be a new creation, have eternal life with me. Removing that stumbling block. Because that generational curse, I've seen it time and time and time again. People become familiar. It's the way I am. It's just how I deal with things. Now, I'm not saying me and my wife have generational curses. But I will say, you see it in marriage a lot. Me and Naomi have had this conversation several times of like, oh my goodness, you can really see the differences in the way we were raised right now. There's nothing wrong with that. Once again, I'm not saying me and my wife have generational curses. I'm just saying marriage really exposes those things to you. Because it just, when you take yourself, not outside of marriage, but when you like perspectively go outside of marriage and look at, wow, we were full-blown adults that formed habits and customs, disciplines, or lack of disciplines on my part. And then all of a sudden you come together and you're supposed to cohabitate. And then if you're like me and Naomi, we got married and then went straight into winter, and neither one of us likes winter activities, so we were trapped in this little apartment. And then it was like, oh my word, the sun, spring! And then it was COVID lockdown, boom! And we were like, yeah, have you heard of a honeymoon phase? I didn't experience it. Being locked in that house and everything, and we were like, spring's here. We finally get to get out. And then it was no. stay indoors and you can't have friends over. What? No, but I'm saying it exposes to you, wow, you're a different person than I am. And it's very difficult not to look at her and say, wow, you're wrong. Oh. She's at home this morning with Farrah. Farrah had a little fever. It's teething. But so she'll get a kick out of that. But that's what it was like. I mean, it was, holy smokes. And once again, I am using these as examples. I am not saying me and Naomi have generational curses. But when it comes to then having a kid and how we're going to raise our kid, then again, you're faced with, you're wrong. No, but you're faced with, okay, what? I don't know about that one. You know, I can't tell that story. I'm going to tell it. Farrah is 8, going to be 9 months old. And we're not yelling at her. Of course not. But every once in a while, I was like, go to bed. No, don't buck. You know, she'll do the, you know. It's like, we're holding you, but we can't squeeze you that tight, so please stop. But there was one night, you know, Naomi's holding her. Nope, don't buck. Gave her a little right on the butt. Be quiet. Oh, my goodness. I don't know who that was. I'm not judging you. You don't judge me. And if you want to come at my wife, you come through me. So, it wasn't even a spanking. Calm down. But she just gave her a little, hey, don't do that. And it was hilarious. But my response was, just like you, whoever it was. I was just like, wow, 8 months old and she got her first spanking. Farrah didn't scream and cry. She didn't say, that's it, I'm growing up and becoming something you're not proud of. You know, no, everything was fine. It was just, it cracked me up. It cracked me up. But then it got down, then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute. I'm not saying I disagree with you, but we got to talk about this. We're going to spank our kids? I didn't even think about it. It's one of those things. I didn't even think about that till just now. Let's talk. Well, that conversation was long. Well, you're wrong. No, but yeah. It's just generational stuff. But now, taking it outside of my marriage, and let's look at this and let's talk about this. Look at your life. The familiar spirits that you are not fighting. Because it's a spiritual battle. Scripture is clear. This is a spiritual battle. That's why it's called the armor of God. There's principalities and so on and so on. I don't think I need to go through all the scripture verses that talk about us being a spiritual battle. Hopefully we all understand that. Hopefully we all understand there is an enemy. All these different things. Okay. So with that understanding that we're all on the same page, I'm sure, familiar spirits, ones that we're supposed to be battling, but we're just letting fester and live. How do we respond to them, and how are we fighting them? Because eventually they're going to not just be yours, but your kids. Because yes, your kid can rise up and break the mold and stop right there. That generational curse is done and it's over. Yes, they can. But it sure is a lot easier when you as a parent are fighting the battle. Fighting the battle. Somebody came into my house and was trying to harm my daughter. There's no telling what I would do. In that moment, I could probably take on a grizz. I'm going to go. No, probably not. But you get the point. But for some reason, when it comes to familiar spirits, generational curses, and spiritual things, what are we doing? Not only that, what stumbling block are we? Scripture tells us in James chapter 3, it talks about all these different animals that can be tamed. I don't think it lists grizzly bears. But it talks about all these animals that can be tamed. But it says, but the tongue, hard to tame. And it's crazy. My brother-in-law Caleb pointed this out to me once, and I can believe because I am who I am, but I can't believe it took me that long to like hear this and understand this. But it was about how God spoke things into creation. And it just demonstrates again how powerful words are. And in what you say to your kid. Yeah, that familiar spirit that you grew up with about negativity and criticism and that you're just like, well, this is the way that it is. This is the way I communicate to people. Well, it needs to change. For your kid's sake. Because now you're pouring into them a generational curse. It would be nice to actually pour out blessing. Not a curse, but you pour out a generational curse and now it's put on them to break it. And their parent isn't actually helping them. Instead, they're a stumbling block. It's my sister Brittany. I love her. You said I could use this, so I'm going to use it. It's impressive what she was able to do this morning, considering she's got like a mangled foot. Now, don't go after her and be like, this day and age, that's really creepy, okay? All right? People, that's weird. Anyway, but she was going for a run. She was out on a run. Look at that spam call. Come on. Even on the holy day, like, come on, take a break. I have that up here for time and different things, sorry. I promise I'm not just up here messaging while I'm preaching. It just lit up and it caught my attention. But she's going for a run. And she's running. I don't know all the details. I know this part. She's running. There's a rock in the path. And she's like, maybe I should move that. And she's like, nah, whatever. Runs. Turns around, comes back. She trips and falls over the rock. Mangles her foot, bashes in her knee, you know, sore, messed up, ligaments, could be broken. I don't know. I mean, you're a Meyer now, so you can go to the doctor. I was going to say, if you were still a Williamson, you'd just have to tough it out. I'm just kidding. That's what I grew up with. That's a generational blessing, not a curse. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man. Sorry, that I couldn't help it. But then, you know, apparently there's, you know, high school boys around or whatever that are helping her. And they're like, yeah, you should move that so nobody else. And she's crying. No, nobody else trips on it and all this stuff. And so they move it and everything like that. But we were talking about it this morning. I'm like, wow, that has some relevance. Huh. Because there's a rock in the path that you keep tripping over and stumbling over. But in the case of familiar spirits, guess what? You don't see it as the rock's fault. And you just keep tripping over it, but guess what? Your kids are going to go down that path someday. They're going to go down that path someday. I remember this bed that I had in the Park Place house. It was the first house we bought when we moved to Sparta because we rented houses for a while. And then we finally bought a house over on Park Place. And no, it's not like Monopoly. It's not like the fancy neighborhood, okay? It was a very nice house, though, but I had this bed, and I mean, I was 7th, 8th grade. Every day I'd come home, and I was playing Nerf hoops in my room. And I'd put on a movie, Nerf hoops, and I'd have my homework there, and I would do a problem, get up, shoot Nerf hoops, watch the movie, come back, do my problem. Hey, that's how I got through, all right? Probably is why I have a lot of bad habits now, but I also can pay attention to a lot of things at once. It's kind of a blessing. My wife does not see it that way, but hey. But I remember this bed. So, you know, you're diving on the bed. You're shooting, fading away. So you fall on the bed, and then there's a foul. Then you miss, so you get to reshoot it. You know, that keeps happening. They added time on the clock. No, I don't know. You know, you mess around, do stuff. But I remember this bed. It would slide on the frame. And in the middle of the night, I got to go to the bathroom. So I get up, and the bed frame sticking out. Metal bed frame. Sharp metal bed frame. No. No. It's the same person that went, no. I appreciate the animation. Yeah, my shin didn't stand a chance, okay? You know what's really dumb? Three nights in a row, I smacked that thing. The point when finally that wasn't my bed anymore, and we moved somewhere, and we were putting it in a different room, and I said, ah, the frame needs to go the other way. Because I do not, you don't want, I'm serious, I just about Anderson Silva'd my shin, okay? It just, I need it, some of you will get that, some of you won't. Anyway, but it seriously hurts so bad, I'd bleed every time. I'm pretty sure my shins are still chipped to this day, all right? I was like, no, turn that around, because whoever's staying in here is going to thank me, or not, because they'll never know the pain. But you know what? That's what I want for my kid. I don't want them to know the pain. I don't want them to know the struggle that I've had, right? I don't want them to have to battle the spiritual things that I've battled and deal with the repercussions of decisions I made. So any kids in the room, pay attention to your parents, all right? Parents in the room, what are you pouring out? Curses or blessings? And yeah, it ain't easy in the moment of frustration. I know this to be true. We just had our third or three-year wedding anniversary. It's getting better. Was it been 4 days or something like that? And I told them, we were on vacation for like 2.5 of them. But I told her, I was like, look at this. Year 4. We figured it out. We haven't had an argument in 4 days. I was like, look at this. This is our year. And then anytime she says something that I'm just like, that is so dumb. Why would you say that? You know that that makes me mad. Why would you? And I'm thinking that in my head. I'm like, nah, don't ruin the streak. And so far, that's been funny enough to diffuse the situation. So here's to 5. No, I'm kind of joking around a little bit. Our marriage isn't rough. It's a marriage. We're learning. But I'll tell you what. What am I pouring out into my wife? Don't worry, I'm close to done, I promise. But there's so many men that I've talked to that are afraid to tell their wives things they struggle with. Because they're afraid of the response they're going to get. That's the truth. I've heard that from a lot of different guys. I've even experienced that in my own life. But then, when my wife sins or struggles with something, how am I responding? Because it looks different. Her sin kind of looks different than mine. And when she, you know, disrespectful or does something, you know, that isn't super honoring, not necessarily to me, but to the Lord or whatever it may be, and it is my duty as the husband to gently bring correction and lead. How many times is that gentle? Yet, we're just going to reap what we sow. And so what are we pouring out in our marriages? What are we pouring into our kids? What are we pouring into our community? Discord? What are we pouring into these relationships? What are we walking around with? And I'll tell you what, you might be trying to pour out blessing, but as long as you got that familiar spirit hanging around you, there is going to be curses that follow. Because you cannot Live outside what God has called you to. You cannot live outside the blessing. You cannot live with familiar spirits and be okay and they're my friend and everything's fine and walk around and give out the blessing of the Lord. You could try and there might be good things that you do, but those familiar spirits are going to show up. And what are you going to grab? Are you going to grab the trekking pole? Are you going to grab the 500 Smith & Wesson? It's a really big handgun for those that don't know. This is a spiritual battle. And I'm just going to jump to my last wrap-up Bible story verse. Paul and Silas in prison. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. This is in Acts 16, starting verse 25. We're praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Pause! You know, when I read this story, I was like, you know, Paul and Silas were praying and worshiping. How come everybody's chains fell off? How come everybody's gates flew open? Because what you do affects others around you. Your pursuit of God being so loud and unashamed, even in your darkness, even in your prison, even in your valley, even in your desert, guess what? There's going to be chains falling off all around you. And those generational curses will be broken. And those familiar spirits will be gone. Because you have that authority. Now walk in it. Don't say you're my friend, but really this friend is sucking the life out of you and going to ruin it. My dad would always say, it's going to steal your lunch. So he'd always say to me, don't let that person steal your lunch. Don't let that steal your lunch. Don't let that, I mean, how many lunches do I have? This is stuff he would say. But it's crazy, when we decide to take a stand, when we decide to pray and worship, draw near to God, not let our circumstances bring us down, that is a spirit of familiarity, like negativity. Oh, I'm in prison, what do I do now? Me. If God loved me, he wouldn't have put me here in the first place. Because he put you there. There's scripture verses aplenty about don't even curse your enemy. Bless those who curse you. That's how you know you're walking in faith. You're drawing near to the Lord. Is even the ones that in this world deserve it, you're blessing them. You're not cursing them. Those curses ain't going to follow you around. Before you say, what about the justice of the Lord? It is his, not yours. Mercy triumphs. That's what we're called to do. So repent. Look at those familiarities. Those things that are eating you up. And if you're like, I don't know for sure if I know what they are. Because guess what? They're familiar. Sometimes you don't realize it. Well, that's where a really great friend comes in and helps you out. Here's the deal, though. If you're that really great friend, this is not your opportunity. Well, gloves are coming off. Here we go. And you're just going to... No, there's no condemnation. This is encouragement. This is you fighting the battle. Are you going to be the Silas to their Paul or Paul to their Silas? You're going to pray and worship with them so the gates fly open? Because everybody around you and your whole family is waiting on you to break the curse. It's you. It's not the next person. And if you're walking in the curse and you think, well, I hope my kid can break it. No, it's on you. Quit passing the buck. Quit passing it off. It's only going to get worse. Sorry, I got mad. My dad's calling me. Must be going late. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. The song, Thousand Generations. You can come up, Chelsea, start playing so I end this. It's up to you. You and I. Break the curse. Fight back. The Lord conquered our enemy. So his presence may be around, but he only has power when we give it to him. We submit to him. No, submit to the Lord. Have his blessing, his protection. Stand with me all over this room. You are more than a conqueror. Start acting like it. That's it. I mean, that's just plain and simple. It's a hard road, but the instruction is simple. Encouragement, tame your tongue, the power of pouring out blessing. Pour out blessing to those around you. Let it be.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.